Hello and welcome back to the Andrew Haynes Show. Today's episode, Andrew sat down with Donald Bunny, the owner and design director at Egghead Creative. Donald has been passionate about design work from the time he was 9 years old and started Egghead Creative in the fall of 2019 as a fully remote design agency before the COVID-19 pandemic had even started. Egghead is a proud sponsor of the Andrew Haynes Show, and it was a pleasure to have Donald on the show today. We hope you enjoy. Support for the Andrew Haynes Show is brought to you by Manscaped, who is best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code AGH at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com using the code AGH. Your balls will thank you.
All right, we're back for another show. I've got Donald Bunny with me. He is the owner of Egghead Creative, creative studio. He's got some talented people. He's very talented himself. If you see everything around us here, he's started to work on some of my graphic design for the Andrew Haynes Show. He also helped develop the logo for Biz Builders with Andrew Haynes for my show there, which I love that logo, by the way, Donald. I think you hit it on the head. We were kind of like the first few times, you know, going back and forth, but it was great. So thanks for joining me.
Sure.
Want to really, you know, hear more about your background and what you've been up to, and then, you know, you getting into, you know, business ownership. So welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Let's get rolling. Let's kind of give us your background.
Okay. So I didn't take the normal traditional path toward opening a design agency. I actually went to college to become a teacher. And so when I got out of college, I started teaching, and teachers just don't make enough money. They should be making a lot more money than they are.
These kids are rough these days too, man. Yeah,
yes. I started down the road of graphic design, wanting to do something to supplement teaching, something I could do nights and weekends, summers, that kind of thing. And I've always had an interest in logos especially, but a lot of other different design. So I started to kind of teach myself, do online tutorials, classes, learn as much as possible about the design world. And then I went into freelancing. And I was freelancing on the side for a few years. And what I really found out was, more so than creating, what I like to do was be the person kind of behind the design. So I wanted to help the client problem solve. I wanted to kind of have my vision put out there and to have other designers, more skilled than I am, bring it to life. And so when I decided that I wanted to start Egghead, I knew I was going to have to do some things differently. I wasn't going to be able to just come in and compete with the well-established agencies that are already out there. So one of the things that I decided to do was I decided to be completely remote. And the reason that I decided to do that was it was going to allow me to work with the best creatives in the country. And I wouldn't have to rely solely on local talent or try to convince somebody to move here. I could just, being that it's 2020, jump on the phone or get in a Zoom call or something, and we could communicate that way. And so that's kind of how we've begun here. We officially launched this year, so there have been a lot of bumps in the road.
Good timing.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's been tough.
Damn it.
You know, but we're moving forward. I like our direction going forward. Things are starting to pick up. And so now that the country's kind of getting back on their feet, the work is starting to come in more, and we're much closer to my goal for this year than we were a few months ago.
No, that's good to hear. I mean, I know that, working remotely is kind of the norm for everyone. So, I mean, kind of setting that up, I mean, definitely, you know, didn't put you back there, but just businesses, everybody put everything on hold. So it's good to hear that that is, starting to come back. Like, at what point did you, were you an artist before? Like, did you just were you just teaching and you just said, hell, I want to do this all of a sudden? Like, how does that even come about?
Pretty much. Yeah. Nice. I started to think, what can I do? I didn't want to go wait tables or, work landscaping in the summer, anything like that. I wanted to have something that if it turned into something, it could kind of get big. And so I wanted to go down a path of something that I enjoyed, something that I could do on the side with the chance for expansion if it took off. And so I just kind of drowned myself in as much creative design, inspiration and information that I could. And I became pretty good at it. There's plenty of artists out there with better skills than I have, but that's not really where I saw myself anyway. I started to see myself as the person who was going to delegate that out to more talented creatives.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's, we talked before and I launched a marketing agency, back in, 2006 or seven. And the whole purpose I had was I just wanted to bring everything in house for the teams that I owned. And so, but I'm not a designer by any stretch of the word. I am graphically challenged, and I wish I, had that ability. I know up here what I want. And then, but for me, I'm so picky on the graphic design side of things. And so, I had a graphic designer for, almost 10 years that was with me and, started kind of, when he was young he was too damn good. Yeah. So we still do some work together, but yeah, I consider myself like a project manager, So I would work with our team of people, and then our creative people, and then make sure that, the creative people are getting, communicated to properly to maximize their time and develop that. So when you took classes or, I'm still trying,
I know, right?
I need to take the classes you're taking.
It's not the conventional, traditional route. No, not at all. It was something that I was interested in. And when you're interested in something, you want to learn as much as possible. And I just kind of immersed myself in that. And I started by kind of having these projects and literally taking them step by step from a tutorial, what I wanted to do. So I already had it kind of sketched out. I had the idea in my head. At that point, it was just kind of learning the programs and skills, which honestly, for me, that was the biggest challenge. I felt like I paid attention enough throughout my life with design and marketing and things like that. I mean, going all the way back to, if you want to go back to my original roots, I remember being in third grade and I was big at NBA and I would design NBA uniforms. I would just have a bunch of tank tops and shorts. Sometimes I'd even go into the shoes and that's kind of where it started. And that actually kind of put me on the path towards wanting to design in the sports realm too. I still stay up to date with, all the new uniforms that come out and I'm big into that. It's kind of a nerdy thing, but it's one of the things I like. I just kept at it until I got to where I thought I could go out and say, let's see if I can make some money doing this. See if it could actually become a side job for me.
Am I good enough for people to pay me?
Exactly. That's what it became. And I was okay at it. I mean, I won't say that I was great, but I was okay at that. I'm much more of, like you said, the project manager type, much more of the problem solver kind of type. And so that's really what drives me now is how do I help my clients solve whatever problem that they're trying to solve, whether it's bring in more eyes to your business or get your name out there, any of those kind of things. And that's where I see myself from here on out. I enjoy design, but I wouldn't say that I'm a designer, you know, at least not to the level of some of the great designers that are out there. But I like to think that I have good ideas. So if I can have the ideas, somebody more talented can put them out there, we're good to go.
Well, and that's the key. I mean, with any, you know, agency is just, you know, making sure you have good creative people that, you know, all those ideas can come together and then be dispersed out to the appropriate expert in those. So, I mean, when you did my logo for Biz Builders, so you like, I mean, you sketched it out by hand first.
Yes.
I mean, and then we kind of were texting each other and putting it together. How much of a pain in the ass was I?
Not bad. You were bad.
Okay, good. We got that recorded too.
You know, you run into certain clients that are tough. But really they want what they want. So, yeah. And most of the time, the challenge with the clients is they don't know how to put it into words what they want. So sketching is always the way to start. It's the quickest to get your ideas on paper. And it is, I think it allows you the most creativity in that first stage of where you're really all you're doing is brainstorming on a sheet of paper, seeing what's going to work, not erasing or crossing things out. Just keep going with them no matter how good or how bad they are, because eventually you'll either stumble on one or you'll find pieces of the different sketches that'll work. And then obviously once you get past the sketch stage, then we go into the computer programs. We use all the Adobe suite, which is pretty standard, and we put it all together in there. And it's a lot of communication with the client, but it's important. I never want to leave my clients in the dark. I'm helping them solve a problem. I don't want to just be a vendor that, you know, hey, say, hey, I need something. Here it is. You're done. I want to partner with our clients to help them grow their brand and help them become really where they want to go with their company or business, one step at a time.
What's funny is when, you know, you're working with different people, it's like, man, you think, man, this logo is badass. And then they don't like it, or like their vision of what they want, and you give it to them and they're so excited and you're like, gosh, this is not that great. Like, it's It's always fun to
it happens. Mess with. It's all about you know, that's where the client comes into play. I mean, you know, just because it's pretty or, you know, badass or whatever, doesn't mean that it's going to fit what the client wants. And that's the interesting part to me. You have to be able to hear no a million times in
this and not get offended.
Yeah, no.
Like, I've worked with some designers, and it's like they get like pissy if you don't like their design. It's like, well, I'm the customer. That's it.
And it's our job, you know, it's our job to provide that service. It's not that thing, you know, we're not providing that tactile thing that's the logo or the business card. We're providing the service. So in the service industry, you get yelled at sometimes. It happens. You got to have thick skin. But ultimately, I'm happy if our client is happy. And, you know, a lot of times we'll take that logo that we really liked and we'll put it somewhere. And that way we can draw inspiration from it again if we need to. If it's a bad design, it goes away. It's gone.
Yeah. I've got like a whole folder filled with high quality logos that were never used. And sometimes I'll grab one out of there and obviously modify it for the name or whatever. And, you know, I've got a nice logo ready to go.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to take the time to put it together, you don't want to do it twice. So if all it is you know, if you create something that'll work for something else and you just got to adjust it, that makes everybody's life a lot easier.
So I take it, you know, you got creative with the colors for Egghead, and I see you're wearing a Pittsburgh Pirates hat. So
yes.
Is that where the inspiration for your yellow and black and the Steelers played a part, or what?
The yellow, it's a mix. Yeah. The yellow is from the egg yolk as well.
Okay.
White is white, you know, yeah. We needed a color. Yeah. And then of course, being from Pittsburgh, everything's black and gold here. So that's what we got. We kind of came up with our own yellow and used a dark black and put it all together. At times we'll use white, but really it's black and yellow.
So are you a total homer when it comes to your sports teams? Is it all, I forgot the Penguins too. They're yellow too. So
I'm not a big hockey fan. I mean, if it's the playoffs, I'll root for them and things like that. Big Steeler fan. The Pirates have broken our hearts several times here. So I kind of split my time now between the Pirates and Yankees. Aaron Judge is kind of
my beast
out there. He's gigantic. And so I kind of latched on with him and started following the Yankees a little bit.
I used to come over to a lot of Steelers games when I lived in Canton, Ohio. And I remember my son, he's 16 now, but I would take him to all these games like Steelers, and you know, they were good in, you know, in the last 15 years. So we'd go to some big games, and I remember he was like, he just wanted to buy something and then leave. And it's like, we were there for a couple of those like Sunday night games against, you know, Tom Brady and you know, Monday night game. And it's like, he's ready after the first quarter. He's like, can we go?
Yeah.
Like, dude, I just paid like $300 for these tickets. We're not leaving.
gotta stay at least until after the third quarter. Then we get
to- I think we made it to about halftime most of the time, but it was tough at that age. Now that he's older, it's definitely a little bit better.
Yeah, my two sons and my dad and I, every year except for this year, we go to a Pirates game for Father's Day. It's not usually on Father's Day, but that's kind of become our tradition. We'll probably head out to Top Golf this year instead. Just because no fans are allowed out there, but hopefully back next year we can start that again.
Who's your NBA team? I heard you say you were an NBA fan.
I was way back in the 90s. It was the Magic, Shaq and Penny. They were my guys. And nice. You know, when Shaq moved on, I mean, I still kept up with the Magic a little bit, and then I kind of have just watch the league now. I don't really follow a team anymore.
Yeah.
But it was the Magic. I had Magic blanket on my bed. I had all of it. So,
well, I was a big Knicks fan in the 90s. I grew up in Pennsylvania too, Lancaster, Pennsylvania, so more central. Okay. And so I would go up to New York. My aunt lived in the city. So I would go to a couple Knicks games a year. And that was so much fun.
Yeah,
I did have a Shaq jersey back then. You know, I graduated high school in 97. So, you know, I still had jerseys then. And then now that I live in Orlando, I try to support my local teams. It's been tough. But it's like they're like always right on the cusp there. And so it was exciting. They made the playoffs this year. You know, they're in the bubble. But I'm a huge NBA fan. I enjoy watching any game, really. Out of all the sports, that's probably my favorite as far as watching.
Yeah, so. I basketball was always my favorite sport growing up. But I mean, as a 5'8" Italian kid, you're not gonna be very good.
You didn't get drafted, you mean?
So you know, I've always paid close attention to basketball. But you know, once I started to get older, football really became the sport that I was drawn to watch anyway.
Did you play any sports?
I did. I played sports until I was about a junior in high school. Okay. I played baseball and basketball, and a little bit of football.
Nice. So is that kind of, you know, when you you know, realized that you were, you know, a sports fan? Oh, shoot. Or, you know, how long have you been really, you know, into sports?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much my whole life. I don't know why. I remember a picture. I was probably about six. I must have gone to a Pirate game. I must have been a Cardinals fan. I was dressed.
Yeah, nice.
I don't know why. And then somewhere along the way, I switched to the Pirates. But I mean, yeah, since I was very young, I've been a sports fan. And now, now that I'm older, one of the reasons that I wanted to start an agency is because I wanted to be able to work on the things and the causes that I thought were important. One of them that has been a huge inspiration in my life, Brandon Marshall, the wide receiver, or former wide receiver, I should say. I think he's done with the league now. He came out with all of his stuff about mental health and once he was diagnosed. And as somebody who's dealt with mental health most of my life, it was an inspiration because here's this like 6'4", 230-pound wide receiver. He's playing this man's game and he's able to come out. And really, he kind of started all of that, the athletes that started to come out now. And that's also when I started to take an interest in athletes off the field and what they could get into. And, you know, being able to work with some of them, when I was the lead designer at Athletes Brand, working with some of their charities, that was a really good experience.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it always just is like, you know, a nice bonus when you can add in, you know, causes that you're passionate about.
Yeah.
And just, you know, good causes in general, you know, anytime you can make an impact, you know, I think it's good. And especially with that, mental health is such a huge you know, thing, and it, you know, for years nobody would talk about it. You know, it's like you know, you just you weren't tough, or like, you know, you just got talked down to. And so you know, it definitely, and I think, you know, with this COVID, I don't think it's helped. I think it's probably had a more of a negative impact on people's health.
I know my wife owns a barbershop, and she went when quarantine hit, and she was told that her shop that she worked 22 years in a man's industry, fighting for that, when she was told she couldn't work. I mean, I saw firsthand how it hits people, and I understand, you know, all of the health and safety and things like that, obviously, but to see somebody go through that, It was tough. I mean, you know, and I can imagine that there were people a lot worse off than she was. Yeah, if you're in the mental health pharmaceutical industry, or now with the medical cannabis, I would imagine that your business has gone up. Not that's a great thing, but you know, I think that's just the situation right now.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely, it's impacting everyone. I saw that Dak Prescott, had come out and talked about some of, the issues he was facing. I think his brother had committed suicide, earlier this year. And, you know, I think it's healthy when people can talk, you know, don't keep it bottled up, and, you know, having someone to talk to, and, you know, that's why I always, you know, in my business, I always say how great it is for me that my wife is my business partner, because I have somebody I can truly talk to about anything. Yeah. And, it's just, it, I don't know, for me anyway, I feel so much better when I talk, and I talk a lot. I have two shows. So, so what kind of customers and clients are you, you know, kind of targeting with Egghead?
In a world where people are more aware and plugged in than ever, it's not enough to just have a great product. Consumers are looking for brands they can relate to. That's where Egghead Creative comes in. Everything they do is powered by deepening the connection with your brand. And every time you do business with them, they'll build a bespoke team of highly specialized creatives designed specifically around what you need. For more information, visit eggheadcreativestudio.com. That's eggheadcreativestudio.com. Or follow them on Instagram at eggheadcreativestudio. Now back to the show.
So our two kind of target markets are the sports world, for obvious reasons, as we've discussed. And really, I mean, we want to be involved with pro athletes, with the new NCAA rules, some college athletes that are going to be taking that next jump, that are going to start building their personal brands, which then may lead to some other business or something that they're setting up for once they're done with the league. And that's kind of where we're targeting. But, you know, anything really related to the sports world, whether it's athletic gear or even like a sports bar, we're very interested in that, being that I'm in charge and I'm a big sports fan. So right. those are the kind of things.
We'll work for beer.
Yeah, right. and then the other market is the cannabis market, because there's so much that's going to form and take place. And without it being federally legal, it's tough to do right now. And so what you have is you have pockets around the country. Like out west, you have California, which is open for medical and recreational. So the brands out there are starting to build. But in Pennsylvania, we are only legal for medical. So the medical part of it and the recreational part of it are going to be two completely different markets. And really, the medical market still isn't completely formed. So you'll have the medical cannabis brands that become nationally or maybe even globally known, like Tylenol, Advil up there with them.
Right.
And then with the recreational cannabis, you'll end up with the Nike, the Coca-Cola, those kind of brands. And just the excitement of the brand new market, and there's a million opportunities right now, especially, you know, being that nothing, there's no template on how to really be successful. It hasn't been around long enough to kind of know exactly the formula to get it to work. So being able to try different things, and these little mom and pop, I guess, cannabis growers are going to, honestly, if they put in the work, they could start competing with when the market starts to form. So there, it's a lot of excitement there. And I am trying to become more a part of that.
I wish I would have got more into that business. You know, that's what my wife and I are always talking about, you know, hey, what should we invest in, or what can we do? And a few years back, we were talking about, it's like, I was kind of, you know, roadblock after roadblock. I just couldn't make any traction. Couldn't, you know, it's such a totally different thing than I've been a part of. So it's always been tough. But I want to ask you this. So you were talking about the, before the cannabis side. So building a personal brand, obviously I have interest in that. I want to build my brand up. So what, you know, what kind of, you know, is the process for doing that? Like, how do you go about doing that? If I am here, obviously I'm not a former NFL player that has millions of followers already. I'm the host of the Andrew Haynes Show.
we welcome everybody, just because
a few people to watch.
Yeah. Where everybody's cool to come with us. If you share our kind of vision of not just, you know, calling us when you need something, you know, we want to help with the ideas of your business, and we would never try to put our own ideas onto somebody else's business. But if we can help in any way to solve one of their issues, even if it's just being able to talk to them and kind of hear things out, then, you know, we're welcome to it. But when somebody is looking to start a brand with us, the first thing we're going to do is our research. So we're going to get the the brand and the business and all of it described from the client's mouth, because that's where the ideas are coming from. It's our job then to figure out, how do we take the client's ideas and bring them to the market, to the masses, attract the clients and things like, attract the customers and things like that. So once we kind of do our research with the brand, we will research the market that they're entering into, possible competition. We'll do all of that research so that we can get the full idea of what we're up against. And doing that research a lot of times pushes us in a certain direction. If you're a new business coming out in an established market, you can't just copy what somebody else did. So you have to set yourself apart in some way. And branding is a great way to do that, because branding will bring out emotions and feelings. I always think of it like way back, I think it was like the early 2000s, Apple ran campaigns that were the two actors, and one, I've seen him in movies, his name's Justin something, but anyway, one was the younger, hipper kind of guy, he's the Mac, the PC's the older guy, he's the businessman, that kind of thing. And what happened there was Apple started to brand toward the younger generation. And now, you know, 20 years later, or however much longer it is, I'm completely on the Apple ecosystem. It's my computer, it's my phone, it's my kids' phone.
Everything.
Yeah. Everything. And that I was the target market for them when they were running that campaign, being
now they have you for life.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you can do that through branding, I mean, they didn't give me a free iPad. They
damn expensive stuff.
Exactly, right? They put out commercials and they hit the right buttons for me, and I was their target, and now I'm in with them. So branding is a great way to be able to do that. You can appeal to the younger market. You can appeal to business owners. Think about cars. You've got Matthew McConaughey driving around in a Lincoln. He's not marketing to me. I'm not the Lincoln guy. He's in a suit. There's a businessman somewhere that is the Lincoln guy. That's who's going to buy the car. So when you're starting a brand, it's very important to find out exactly how to set yourself apart and kind of put together your target market.
Kind of so know all, your identity.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah.
And all of this really goes together before any of the design happens. The design doesn't happen until we have a clear picture of what the client is and what they're trying to accomplish. Then we can push our design and branding toward whatever they're trying to accomplish. And, you know, you talk about the logo that we did with Biz Builders. The first one that I gave you wasn't a fit for the show. It wasn't who was going to be targeted. It was more of like a younger audience. So it didn't fit. And if I was just somebody you reached out to and said, hey, I need a nice logo, and without doing any research, I would have never got there. So that's, you know, the research comes in and it's the boring stuff, but it's the important stuff. And that's how we start everything.
And when you were working with me, I didn't really give you much to work with either.
Hey, that's all right.
Here's the name, and that's about it. And then I wanted gold, but you threw in the Pittsburgh, you know, yellow on me.
I had yellow, yeah.
I had to change that.
Yeah, I know. I was trying to sneak it in.
No, it was good. So tell me more about the cannabis side of things. Now, is that something you're kind of almost the same thing? Instead of building a personal brand, just building those company brands? Is that kind of what you're looking for there?
Yes. So what I've found so far, and I may just not have found the right path, but what I've found so far is it's tough to find the cannabis brands that don't already have something for branding, whether it's just their logo and packaging, or whether it's, you know, their logo and website or something. So what we're looking to do, since we can't really help a lot of those brands build, at least not yet, once it becomes federally legal and the recreational market takes off, a lot of opportunities are going to present themselves. But for now, we're trying to help the cannabis brands prepare for that because it's coming and somebody out there is preparing for it. And if it's not you, you're going to get left behind. Because the first ones out to market are going to be the first ones that everybody tries. And if they try it and like it, they're hooked. So, you know, somebody else coming along isn't going to have that same opportunity. So right now, the plan is help these already established cannabis companies prepare for the next step. And then in the future, it will be to actually help build the cannabis brands. By that time, we may have some sort of template that other brands have used to work. And it may not be as much guesswork or trying to fill in gaps. You have a little bit of information and you've got to get here, but getting there is the issue. So that's, yeah, that's kind of where we are with the cannabis market. And it's a lot to learn.
When's it going to be, when is recreational going to be available in Pennsylvania?
They're talking about it. Yeah. And I think it's going to be sooner rather than later. I would look for it within the next 2 years, I would say, judging by everything that I've been reading, at least. Maybe it comes faster, maybe it comes slower, but that's kind of the timeline that I've kind of figured out with it. But for it to become federally legal,
it's so stupid. It's like, just make it legal already, for crying out loud. I mean, that's a whole nother show, but, have you tried, like the edible stuff?
I'm a medical marijuana patient, my mental health.
Yeah.
And I find that it's much better to work on the spot. So, you know, I still take my medication every day, in the morning, and it helps kind of balance me out overall. But if I'm feeling extra anxious or I just can't get myself moving or anything like that, that's when I use the medical cannabis to combat my anxiety and depression.
And how is that smoked, or is that like, I'm kind of not that hip on it as far as like how it works. So I just know a friend of mine was telling me he went to Colorado and that's where it's recreational. And he told me how he tried a chocolate bar. Yeah. And he bought like a huge chocolate bar. The guy told him to eat like a small little piece to see how he felt. And he ended up eating half the damn bar and told me he felt like he was going to die.
Yeah.
And so I said, well, if you follow instructions.
Yeah, that's you have to.
Yeah.
The edibles, I believe, take a little longer to kick in. Just because
he said. And then all of a sudden, no.
Yeah, then you better hope you didn't eat too much. but I usually use the vape. That's what I use. They've got all kind of stuff. They have topicals that, you know, if you've got joint pain, you rub some of that on there, just like lotion. Yeah. It's almost like Bengay, but They have edibles. They have capsules that you can take just like pills. And
all that stuff is legal in PA if you have a medical card.
Yes. Okay. So you have to get diagnosed by a doctor. Well, you have to have a diagnosis and then get approved by a doctor. Yes.
I think Florida is similar. Okay. I know that I've noticed some places opening up. So, I mean, I was watching a documentary or something on the business, and most of these places are afraid to open up bank accounts because the federal government can take their money or, you know, freeze it or whatever, because it's not, you know, legal, throughout the country.
Some banks you can't, and I've worked with clients that, you have the business name, then you have the entity name. And if that entity name includes anything related to it, banks aren't going to touch it.
Yeah. So
you have to kind of get creative that way. And then even then, if the banks find out that that's what your business is,
they'll close you down.
Yeah. It's a very volatile market right now.
Just take cash, I guess. I mean,
that's the universal all across the country. Everybody accepts
cash. I'm guessing. I'm wondering if, you know, they don't take credit cards.
They don't.
Yeah.
They don't. Some places, if you use a debit card, they'll take, but there's a fee. Most places will have an ATM inside in case you don't have cash.
That's what I would do.
Yeah, I mean,
right, cash, man. Let's fill that back room up with some cash.
There's right now. It's kind of. I mean, you can see the challenges that these businesses are facing. Luckily, the medical market is spread almost the whole way across the country. There's still places and states that it's not legal. But for the most part, that is starting to form because it is becoming, the thing, but it's still local. You can't, even if you're a medical business, you can't, you know, go on Amazon and sell your product because it can't go anywhere. So right. Still limiting. And so what you end up with are these kind of local brands that are competing with each other. And it's almost like this big tournament, right? You got the state level and then you got the national level. And then, so it's going to be a while before everything settles down. I would say within 5 years, medical marijuana will be federally legal and recreational shouldn't be too far behind that.
So how are you going about finding these companies now?
A lot of searching. I've hit LinkedIn pretty good. What I'm looking for are people who can make the decisions. A lot of times it's not the CEO or the president of the company. It might be their marketing director that I kind of try and talk to. And basically when I reach out, I'm just trying to get to know them a little bit, get to know their business. See if they might have an interest in creative services. And if they do, then we can take it a step further. But other than that, it's a lot of searching. It's a lot of hard work, I guess, because it's time consuming to try and find the clients.
Yeah, definitely. You know, or somebody else has already probably found them, right? You know, the ones that are easy to find.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. And, you know, being a new business, it's tough to get your name out there. It's tough to win clients over from the more established agencies and things like that. But
you just need that one. You need the one, and then you know
that's
your thing, and it builds. So
I like where we're headed. Where I
have not even a year old, right?
That's
it. This is your first year, so
it hasn't been an easy year.
Yeah,
They're there, but they're, it's kind of like, well, maybe we kind of got to mesh the first 2 years to kind of get to where we want to be after year two.
Yeah. No blueprint for this. That's for sure. But I do think people are starting, it seems like more and more are getting back in the swing of things. I preach it all the time, man. Companies cannot afford to lay off of, you know, their sales process or their marketing, even during these rough times. Now is when they need to make sure that they are, you know, relevant and out there. So building those brands and doing that is crucial. Outside of that side of it, do you plan to do any like, you know, stuff on the advertising side, you know, video creative, you know, ad buys, that kind of stuff?
Eventually, we'll expand to more of the marketing side of it. Right now, we're kind of niched into the creative side of it, and then marketing is passed on to whoever the business uses. But eventually, it'll all be one. And once that happens, we may start getting into some advertising and things like that. But for now, anyway, for the first year or two, this is what we're going to build with. This is what we're going to build our foundation doing. And if we don't build our foundation doing this, we can't move to something else. So, add anything else. So,
Well, especially if you're working with a lot of startups or young companies, this gives you an opportunity to grow with them.
Yeah.
You know, which is great. You know, hopefully, just like Apple did, you know, they got a customer for life. You're there, hopefully, to help them as they grow. And I think that's how you see some of these agencies really blow up, right? They get a company that they help from the beginning, and all of a sudden they blow up.
Yes.
And who do they remember? They remember, you know, hopefully the guy who was there, and nobody would answer their calls. Right, so,
yeah.
So, no, I mean, I think that's great. What is the best way to reach you? Like, what's the website, or any other information you want to throw out there?
Sure. Easiest place to reach us would be the website. It is eggheadcreativestudio.com. Another way that is easy to reach me, you can find me on LinkedIn. And you can also get to our Instagram, which is Egghead Creative Studio. Really, you know, any way that you reach out to us, we are priding ourselves on being prompt and getting back to you as soon as possible, and just kind of starting that conversation.
Yeah, and I'll say, I mean, we just connected through LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. And started, you know, chatting on there, and then started having some conversations on how we can help each other. And, you know, I think it's been good. I mean, we've been talking on the weekends, you know, trying to get some stuff done. So, I can't thank you enough. I love the logo. I love the other stuff that you put together for me too. So looking forward to continuing to work with you and, you know, any company out there, whether you are, you know, young or, you know, an experienced company, give Donald a shot. I'm confident that you're going to be happy with the results that, you know, Donald and Egghead, you know, provide you, as long as you, you know, don't hate the Steelers or the Pirates too bad.
We can.
What happened to the Cleveland Browns?
We'll allow you to come in and work with us if you're not a Pittsburgh fan. Like, if you're a Flyers fan, you might not like us too much, but hey, I'm not a big hockey guy, so come.
What about the Cleveland Browns want you to do some work for them? Can you do it?
Okay, fine. I have a friend who we rag on all the time because he's a Browns fan. I don't know how he lives here, but you know. But yeah,
why would you root for the Browns?
Yeah.
No, sounds good, man. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
And I'll make sure that we put all your links in the description.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Hey, podcast fans, thanks for listening to today's episode of The Andrew Haynes Show. If you enjoyed it, be sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. If you have any questions, be sure to reach out to Andrew on LinkedIn. We'll see you next time.